Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're like me, you've maybe kind of stopped watching the evening news, don't really like to turn on the news online, or just know that there's just bad news all the time, and that's what people like to show and they like to push, but there's certain things, there's certain tragedies that happen that just kind of you can't avoid knowing about, learning about, hearing about, and you being concerned about. Most of you, you go back a generation, you can think about when JFK was shot, or now, you know, my generation, we remember exactly where we were at 9/11. I was a senior in high school. But now there's a generation now that weren't even born or doesn't remember 9/11, that tragedy. So you think of just other tragedies, you hear of all the school shootings, or remember Hurricane Katrina, the huge flooding in New Orleans. Then we had this hurricane just this last year in North Carolina, and just the devastation that happened there. You saw the pictures. You can't help but hearing and seeing about it. And the fires in California around L.A., just the tragedy. It's hard not to see, but we know that there is tragedy all around. And why does it happen? There's times, though, that we see these tragedies and people will question and say, why does this happen? And sometimes they'll try to give an answer. Today we're going to look at the truth in tragedy, but the problem is sometimes people think that they know the truth. I remember I did relief work down in New Orleans 3 times. I was down there 10 weeks after, 6 months after, 2 years after. And I remember people saying, you know, that hurricane came, that devastation came to New Orleans. They have Bourbon Street, and they're such sinful people down in New Orleans. You remember that? Or we had, you know, the flooding in North Carolina and in, you know, the fires in L.A. I heard things about, well, L.A., like, that's Hollywood and those rich people, they're getting, you know, they're getting that punishment for what they deserve. I didn't really hear that about North Carolina. Well, why is it, why do we sometimes project it onto these people and not these people? But anytime God hasn't revealed why something's happening, and you say it's, well, they're getting that because of this, we know that's a problem. We know that's not revealed by God. So then we have to ask, then, what is the truth in tragedy? As we look at this, as we look at the questions asked it to Jesus, there's kind of a first part that we're going to look at about the wrong thought that we have, and then the good thought we should have. And then the second part, we're going to see how Jesus connects the questions to a parable. And we're going to see a bad truth and then a good truth. So first we see here in these tragedies, we see that there's signs. There's signs of something. And if you look at the context of chapter 13, it's always good to remember that when the Bible was written, they didn't have the chapter breaks and the verse numbers. So in chapters 11 and 12, Jesus is talking about that there's signs that he's the Son of God, and people are kind of ignoring those signs, that he's the Messiah. They see the signs but don't believe it. And there's also signs of the end of the world. What are going to be the signs that the end is coming? And so then it kind of relates to this question then, what are these tragedies signs of? People come to Jesus with these two examples. The one example where Pilate mixed the blood of Galileans with the sacrifices, and the other when a tower fell in Siloam and killed 18. We don't know the exact examples of these. We know that Pilate had other examples where he was pretty ruthless, where he put down rebellions and would actually lost some of his rule because of some of his harshness. But we kind of see the two different types of tragedy. the tower falling, just an accident. Why does this horrible accident happen? And why does this horrendous evil thing happen, like in our world, the school shootings or the wars? And so people come to Jesus and say, why is this happening? And what is the natural thought? Jesus knows the natural thought. We don't hear the words that the people are thinking, but Jesus gives us what they're thinking. He says, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this? I tell you, no. Or the second one, do you think that they, who the tower fell on, were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. The bad natural thought that we have, by nature, we think karma. This is what the people of religions years and, you know, thousands of years ago thought. But this is also what we continue to think today. It's that natural thing that we fall into, that bad things happen to bad people and good things happen to good people. If that's happening, well, they must have done something to deserve it. And if life is going pretty good for me or for those people, that means they must be pretty good people. Do we know that's not exactly how God works? We do, but is that what we default to? This horrible thing happened, this tragedy, this sad thing happened. Well, what did they do that God has brought that into their life? This is what we naturally do. This is what our hearts do. We have this natural feeling of that we should get what we deserve, and if I am not getting punishment then, or the bad things happening, then, well, I must be a good person. And those people must be bad for getting bad things. Or even when a disaster, a terrible thing happens in your life, maybe you think, what did I do, God? Why are you punishing me with it? Why are you letting this happen? What did I do wrong? But is that the point? Is that what God is saying tragedy is all about? No. He's not saying that people who suffer in these ways are more guilty, are worse sinners. This is the wrong thought. So what is the good thought? He says, not that they're more guilty or they're more of a sinner, but he says, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. So what's the good thought that God wants us to think about? He wants us to think about sin and death. He's not saying, well, you should look down on those people or you should look at yourself more highly if things are going well, but you should think about sin. You should think about what causes death and brings about tragedy in life. And that us all one day will meet our end. Maybe not in a tragedy, but sin and death are real. And so he says, you too should repent. To use this to understand that in tragedy, we are to be reminded that our lives are not forever. We are not going to live forever, and that we are sinful. That we need to repent and understand that sin causes everyone to die. That no one is going to escape death. And so this is what tragedy is to cause in us. Not to condemn those people, but to look at ourselves and understand that we're mortal and that we need help. We need a solution for sin and death. So what do we do with this then? Do we get into pride and despair? Do we think, well, okay, There's sin all around, and we're going to die, so we despair. Well, no. God wants us to focus on the truth, and this is what the parable is all about. To understand that He's calling us to do something, but also to find hope. When Jesus tells the parable about the fig tree, it's important to understand that the differences here of what a fig tree is. We don't really see fig trees, but a fig tree would be something well known to the people. Maybe we see maple trees, there's ash trees all around. They'd kind of be lining the streets. And they also represented peace and prosperity. And so here's a fig tree that is supposed to represent peace and prosperity, everything going well, and here it is dying. And so we know that we see that the owner of this vineyard wondering what's wrong, that they should cut it down. But we see there is an answer. Why is this warning there? To cut it down. It's understanding that there is this call to change. To understand that the bad news, that we are stubborn sinners. That God looks at us and says, where's the fruit? If your hearts are hardened, and that you are prideful and looking down on others because life is pretty good, and because you maybe are like those Israelites in the desert who thought, well, we have God on our side, I'm close to Him, I can do what I want. And we see the suffering that came about to them. We have to see that we fall short. So God is calling to us. There's this warning to repent. But in this, when God speaks in warnings, there's kind of a threat, right? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig it around and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. There's a threat. There's a warning. Why would God give a threat and a warning? Does God want to carry that out? Think about as parents, when you are disciplining kids or if you're a teacher, do you want to always be threatening your kids with punishment? And do you want to carry that out? Is it our joy as parents to be like, oh, today I got to punish my kids again? You don't want to carry that punishment out. You're trying to protect them. You're trying to keep them safe and to get them to change. In the same way, God threatens and gives warnings because He doesn't want to carry them out. He wants to see, for us to see the reality. And we need help. That we need to repent. And why can we repent? As this tree for 3 years has not shown any fruit, we see that God is still patient. Leave it alone one more year. God is patient and forgiving. As we talked about in the opening, God has an open door for us to come and to be forgiven. But what's interesting is, what do we feel about repentance? Do you want to confess your sins? Do you want to tell others the wrong you've done? More often we hide them and hold on to them and we pretend that God doesn't know what we've done. But God is loving and patient and forgiving, always waiting and wanting us to come, just like that prodigal son returning to his father. We'll hear more about that understanding of God's love and forgiveness for us. We see in this parable that there isn't exactly an ending, that it's very open-ended. We have to understand that God is calling each of us to Him, to not be afraid to go to Him, but to go to Christ, because in Him, our sins have been washed clean. There is no sin too great. There is no sin that Jesus did not pay for. And what does Jesus say? come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. He gives us peace and hope and forgiveness. And so as we look at the tragedies in life and we look at the God's patience and forgiveness, we see that we don't always know why tragedy happened. This is kind of the lesson of Job, that Job had done nothing wrong, but there was still suffering. There was tragedy in his life, but there's never exactly an explanation. And in the questions asked to Jesus, Jesus doesn't say exactly why they happen, but to open our eyes to our sin, to repent and to come to Jesus for forgiveness and to be close to him. Because we look at tragedy, and one of the questions you might say is, what is the biggest, greatest tragedy? There's many tragedies that happen in life, but I would say the greatest tragedy is dying without Jesus. To not have faith and to meet your end. Because that's what this whole section is all about, is when you're called from this life, do you know your Savior? Are you at peace with Him? Do you know that you're forgiven and that heaven is in store? Or are you far from Him? And if we are understanding that even when tragedy strikes, that we know of God's love and peace and forgiveness, we can have hope. Because when a tragedy strikes, if someone dies in the Lord, we know that there is hope for them. We know that they're forgiven, they're at peace with their Lord, they're without sin now, they see the face of Jesus, and there's great happiness. We don't mourn like the rest of the world. But I'd say the greatest tragedy is not only dying without Jesus, but then I'd also say it's also living without Jesus. Because all of this, the peace and the forgiveness that God gives us, is not just for death, but it's for your life. To give you hope and peace now, to know that you're forgiven, so that whatever you face, Jesus is with you, always present, always patient. And probably depending on your age, you maybe know this truth about tragedy. Will you face tragedy in life? Will you face loss and suffering and difficulty? You will. We live in this sinful, broken world, and so you will face tragedy. And so a question is, are you close to Jesus? Do you know of His love and His peace and His forgiveness, that He's with you, that He has a purpose for that thing going on, that I'm not going to tell you what that might be, that you might never know exactly that purpose, but God promises He does have a purpose. And that purpose, our Lord wants us close to Him. Our Lord wants us that in the face of tragedy, whenever that might happen, you know that you're loved and forgiven and that your God is always with you. And the truth is, you might live another couple decades, if you're young, or tragedy might come. But if you are close to your Lord and Savior, if you know you're forgiven, then you can always be at peace. Never fearful, never worried about all the things going on in the world, but trusting and knowing your Lord is with you. The truth is, tragedy will happen. Tragedy is meant to help us examine ourselves and our place and our faith, but most of all, to cling to our Savior and to not run from Him and to hide our sin, but to go to Him knowing He's forgiving, and that when we repent, we have that forgiveness and hope. So that's my prayer for you today. to not be afraid of tragedy, but to cling to Christ in all of it, knowing He's patient and forgiving and always with you. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.